Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're really happy you're with us here this evening, this November 9th, 2025. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. on New Visions Radio. Whether we're in the studio or Ray puts us on the air, we're here every week. Thanks to Ray Powers.
Yes.
And Ray, we're really grateful for the things that you do for us. Ed, I was telling you this evening that I took a walk today and the colors are just amazing.
Yeah, especially when the sun hits the trees just right, just like they glow.
Yeah, and even though they're beautiful on the picture, they can't capture what the naked eye captures.
Yeah.
Nothing that man makes can beat God's creation. And the colors this year here in Virginia weren't as vivid as early as they normally are. It's been kind of late, hasn't
mm-hmm.
it? And it seems like they just changed all of a sudden. And I think for me, one of the most beautiful areas to me of the country, my wife and I were up in New York State years ago, and the colors up there were so vivid. And I don't know if it's like that all of the time or not in the northern part of the
U.S. Yeah, I don't know either. It probably varies from season to season depending on the things that affect that.
But. Yeah. And, you know, it's just when I look at this world and, you know, the sinful world that we live in, but I see the beauty of God's creation in this sinful world, what's it going to be like in the new world, in the new earth?
Yeah, it's hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine what it would be like without all the results of sin that we deal with every day.
And even the pressures that we get, the things that we don't even realize are affecting us right this moment, we don't even know it because we were born into this condition. And so I'm excited about the study we're going to do today because we're going to talk about the life of Jesus.
Yes.
And this is the only way that we can come out of the state that we're in right now.
You'll see the love of God, the love that Jesus, the Son of God, has for us.
Amen.
And the desire to bring into men's minds the way of salvation, the way out of this sin that we find ourselves in.
Mm. So that's going to be an exciting study. So get your Bibles ready, friends. We're going to be starting in Matthew, the first chapter,
yes.
Right? But before we do that, Ed, tell us a little bit about this ministry.
Well, again, we're a little ministry here in Stanton, Virginia. We've been around since 2012-ish,
yeah,
if that's a word. And we've been at our current location since 2015, where God, through His blessings, through miracles, provided us a church, which our ministry is based out of. And we're just a small little group, and we just have services on Wednesday evening, prayer time / study time, and then on Saturday, the seventh day of the week, we have our church service. We have Bible study at Sabbath school at 9:30, and we have our worship hour at 11.
Yeah, so like Ed said, we're just an independent ministry. We're not affiliated with any church or denomination. But also, if somebody wants to contact you, Ed, how do they do that?
You can contact me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
And you can contact me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our names, you can just email office@prophecyhope.com and just give us a couple of days to reply because we're pretty busy fellows, even though we're kind of retired.
Kind of old.
And I guess it takes a little longer to do things than it used to. So give us a little time to respond to those emails. And, you know, the other thing is if you would like a copy of the Bible, if you don't have a Bible, let us know and we'll try to get you a Bible. We have King James and New King James Bibles, and we will make sure that you get a copy. And also, there are softwares that you can download on your computer, your laptop, or your desktop. eSword is a really good resource.
Yes.
There are websites like Bible Gateway and I think there's some others, Blue Letter Bible, and you can read your Bible on those. And you can also get an app on your phone, whether it's an iPhone or a Android, that you can look for those apps. And that way you have at your disposal God's Word. Because, Ed, why do we want people to read the words with us?
To make sure we're telling the truth.
Yeah.
That we're not giving you information that's contrary to what the Bible says.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, I do this when I'm giving a sermon. I heard a pastor do it years ago. I'll read a passage and I'll change the word just to see if people are paying attention.
Right.
And sometimes the looks on their faces, they'll look and they'll look at me, and it's kind of like, well, that's not what it says. That's right. That's why you need to look at the words on the page.
And why is this so important? Because so much of Christianity is based on men's opinions, men's wisdom, philosophy, doctrine, versus what the Word of God says. And that's what you often hear, whether on the radio, on the YouTube, or from the pulpit.
It's unfortunate, but true. And this is why we want you to read along with us. And if we say something that doesn't sound biblical, or you think it's not right, or you think it's contrary to the Word of God, email us.
Yeah.
And we will try to address that on the air. And we won't use your name. Don't worry about that. We're not going to call you out in front of people. We'll just say someone sent in this question or this comment.
Yeah, we're old enough, we probably wouldn't remember your name anyways.
Probably not. Well, speak for yourself, Ed. So to get us started, we always like to start with a word of prayer. So Ed, would you pray for us, please?
Sure, let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're just so thankful for this opportunity to open your word and to learn about this gift, this great gift you've sent us in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, as we read about his life on this earth and your desire to save mankind from the results of sin, Father, give us wisdom and understanding. Give us understanding of your great desire to save us from the sinful world because of the gift of your Son. And Father, we ask that you give us wisdom and knowledge and guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, last week we had finished up a study we called What About the Change?
Yes.
And just what does that title mean? What about the change? How did we discuss that? In other words, what's that about, the change?
Well, what that means to me is... Is God really working in your life? Mm. Are you really a follower of the Son of God, Jesus Christ? And if you are, that results in change in your life. It's not just a superficial thing, going through the motions, going to church once a week, having a Bible with your name on it,
right.
Wearing a bracelet that says, "What would Jesus do?"
Right.
Or having a bumper sticker on your car that says, "Honk if you love Jesus." It's about the change inside that bears fruit, that results in interacting with people differently, controlling your emotions. It's called temperance, self-control, getting rid of sin out of your life. Protect your heart by filtering what goes into your ears, what goes into your eyes, what goes into your mouth that promotes evil in your life. And this is the change we're talking about.
Amen.
You know, Mark, we have billboards that we put up. We've been putting up for a number of years.
Yeah.
And we really don't know how it affects people that much. But we did have a conversation with a couple of young people.
That saw those billboards.
That saw those billboards and wanted to talk with us. And these are two young people that have not only experienced the change in their life,
right,
and have made changes in their life, they're living their life differently, but they want to teach and show other people, young people, the same experience that they've had.
Yeah, that Jesus can make a difference in your life.
Yes.
If you allow him to.
If you want him to.
Right. You have to desire it.
Yes.
And it's not something, he's not going to force himself on you. Jesus stands at the door and knocks, right?
Right.
And he expects you to let him in if he's knocking.
So this is the change we're talking about.
And, you know, it was so refreshing to see young people like that.
Oh, yeah.
That are in their early to mid-20s.
Yeah.
That are interested in knowing who God is, knowing who his Son is, and helping others to recognize the need for God and his Son in their lives.
Right.
And so last week when we finished, we talked about that. What about the change? And that was the theme all last week. And then once we signed off and the mics were off, we got to talking, and you made a suggestion. You said, hey.
Well, you know, I don't know if we've ever really talked about the life of Jesus that much on the air.
Yeah.
And to show people who Jesus is by his life that he lived on this earth. And so I thought it would be good just to start in Matthew chapter 1, the end of the chapter, verse 18, and just start reading so we can find out what Jesus experienced on this earth, how he came to do the will of his Father on this earth, how he put his trust totally in God, his Father. And so I think it will give you an idea of who Jesus is.
Okay, good. So Matthew is the first gospel in the New Testament.
Right.
There are four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I think it's really important that we take a look at this too, Ed. And so in my Bible, it has a heading here in chapter 1 of Matthew. It says, the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Does yours say something?
Well, I wasn't going to start there. I was going to start in verse 18, but we can read that if you want.
Okay.
You can read it because I'm not going to be able to pronounce all these names.
Yeah, I don't mind reading it. And, okay. And the thing is, as we read through this, think about some of these names. Some of the names will say, well, I've never heard that name. I haven't heard it. But if you go back to the Old Testament, you will find these names. And the other thing is, many of them you'll probably say, oh, yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that. So there is a lineage that Jesus has from the beginning, and you'll get to see that.
And each of these names have their own story.
Absolutely.
Their own history associated, written in the Bible. Now, some of them may just have been listed in the Bible, but many of them have a story associated with them that tells us how God is working through the generations to prepare for the coming of his Son to this earth.
Absolutely. And this lineage is very important with knowing the identity of Jesus Christ also. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at this, I'll just start here. I didn't know you weren't planning on starting in verse 1.
That's fine. No,
but
that's fine.
I think this is good for people who have never,
sure.
Many people have never read this. So I'm reading this from the New King James, and you stop me at wherever you would like me to stop.
Okay.
It says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Okay,
so we often know Jesus, those that have read the Bible, as the son of David.
Right.
But do you realize that he's the son of Abraham, that David's lineage comes through Abraham?
Yes, absolutely, and that's what this is showing us.
Yeah. So Jesus is also called the son of Abraham.
Yes, he is. As you read the Gospels, you find that.
Yeah.
And you find it in the Old Testament as well. So it says here, beginning in verse 2, Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Judah and his brothers.
Okay, so, you know, it's interesting we use this word begot. What does that mean? You know, in the modern King James, it says Abraham fathered Isaac. Uh-huh. Isaac fathered Jacob. And Jacob fathered Judah and his brothers. Do you understand that God has a begotten son?
That's what the Bible tells us.
And his name is Jesus?
Absolutely. And in the King James, it uses the word begat, which the New King James uses begot, which literally that's what it means. I'm looking at it right now. Men who fathered children, to be born of, to be begotten,
yes,
to be born. That's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very important with understanding the identity of Jesus Christ. And it's an amazing thing. Any other thoughts here before we continue?
Go ahead.
Let's see. I think I let off in
verse three.
Verse 3 is where we'll pick up. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nashon. Actually, that would be Nashon. And Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. There are some names here that I recognize, right? And verse 6, it says, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah, Most of us know that account.
Yeah.
And verse 7, Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram, and Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Ammon. Ammon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. There's a little history there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiad. Abiad begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok. Zadok begot Achim, and Achim begot Eliad. Eliad begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Matthan. Matthan begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. So there's the history of the lineage of Jesus Christ.
Right. So let's continue in verse 18. Let me read verses 18 through 25, the rest of the chapter. And this is the modern King James. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was this way. For his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. But Joseph, her husband-to-be, being just and not willing to make in the public example, he purposed to put her away secretly. And as he thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take you to you Mary as your wife, for that in her is fathered of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this happened so that it might be fulfilled what was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall conceive in her womb, and will bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And Joseph, being roused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took his wife, and did not know her until she bore her son, the firstborn, and he called his name Jesus. So, you know, it's interesting here that this angel in verse 21 tells Joseph that Mary would bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Ah, that's interesting. Yeah.
It doesn't say that he shall save his people in their sins.
That's correct. He came to allow us to be able to overcome. That's what saving us from our sins means.
Right.
We can't continue to sin because, remember, we talked about the prison house just last week.
Right.
And this is part of the what about the change that we were talking about.
You know, it quotes a prophecy here that we can find in Isaiah chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go there real quick.
Sure.
Now, this is interesting because here God is having a conversation with Ahaz. Wasn't that part of the lineage of Jesus? When you read that lineage?
You know, let me look and see. Was that part of it? Ahaz, I know there was. Let me go back here real quick.
Anyways, God is having a conversation with his king.
Yes,
and what's happening is, if you read the chapter before, there's a nation that's getting ready to attack Israel, and the king's all upset and worried about it. What do I do? And God tells the king, "Ask me for a sign, whether it's in the heaven above or the earth below. Ask me for any sign, and I will do it to show you that I'm with you and show you that that you need to follow what I say. And let me start with verse 10 here of Isaiah 7. And Jehovah said, spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign of Jehovah your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I tempt Jehovah. And he said, hear now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? So the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Mm. Butter and honey he shall eat until he knows to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you live shall be forsaken before both its kings. So he's talking to King Ahaz and says, O house of David. He's in the lineage of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, yeah, that would be born.
And I see that. You know, I don't know. I should have known that, Ed. But for some reason, I remember reading the word Asa, which is in verse 7 of Matthew 1. And Ahaz comes after Asa. And actually, it says in verse 9, Uzziah begot Jotham, Jotham begot Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Hezekiah, Hezekiah begot Manasseh.
Yeah.
I knew that, but I was drawing a blank.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stories with Hezekiah, too. But it's interesting that this king refused to ask God for a sign. God says, I'll give you a sign. Just whatever it is, doesn't matter. I'll do it. Mm. And he refused. So the Lord gives him a sign. It would be part of his own lineage that the virgin would conceive and bring forth a son. They should call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us.
I wonder if he really understood that at that time.
No, if you continue to look at the life of this king, he produced evil.
Yeah.
Instead of good.
So it goes to show that God can use any means that he wants to accomplish his purpose,
right,
whatever that is. In fact, he used a Babylonian king, we've talked about that many times, to accomplish things that he needed to get done.
Nebuchadnezzar, yes.
Right. So, so Ahaz is definitely in the lineage of Jesus Christ. It's amazing, these names.
So when this angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream and tells him, don't worry, you know, Mary has conceived of the Holy Spirit. And he quotes this prophecy in Isaiah that the virgin shall conceive in her womb and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so Joseph believed the angel and took his wife and did not know her until she bore her son, the firstborn, and he called his name Jesus.
Hmm.
So let's continue in chapter 2.
Okay.
And Mark, can you read the first 12 verses?
Okay, so this is Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 12. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, a star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way.
So this is some of the story of the birth of Christ and what happened. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting that it says, behold, in verse 1, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who is born king of the Jews?
Right.
For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. First of all, it doesn't say how many wise men there were.
No, people commonly would say three, because I think because there were three gifts, gold, right, frankincense, and myrrh, but it doesn't number them, does it?
Right. But how did they know about Jesus, who's going to be king of the Jews, and his star in the east? How did they come to understand that?
Well, if you look at verse 4, when he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him in verse 5, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And then they quote from the Old Testament in verse 6. So somebody had been studying God's word.
Let me give you some verses that I wasn't aware of, and most people I don't think are aware of, in the book of Numbers.
Okay, let's look at that.
Let's go to Numbers 24.
Numbers 24.
Remember, I don't know if these men studied the sky, studied the stars, and were aware that, hey, this is something different in the sky. This wasn't there before. Hmm. So Numbers 24, I'm going to read verses starting with 15.
Okay.
And just to give you a little background, the children of Israel were traveling through the wilderness, leaving Egypt, going to the promised land. Mm-hmm. And as they were traveling, they came upon different nations. And there was a king of this particular nation that hired Balaam, who was a prophet, to curse Israel. But Balaam could only say the words that God gave him. And he ended up three times, blessing Israel versus cursing them. And this king was paying him money to do that. And so this is one of the parables, one of the blessings. Verse 15, and he took up this parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor has said, and the man whose eyes are open has said, he has said who heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty falling down but having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not near. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall strike the corners of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult.
Hmm.
This is a prophecy of the birth of Jesus Christ.
Yes, it is.
Notice it talks about a star out of Jacob,
a scepter,
which refers to a king.
Right.
And so these men apparently knew the scriptures,
these
wise men, whoever they were, out of the east. And they paid attention to the stars in the sky. And they knew this was different. And they saw that this was fulfilling this prophecy that we find in Numbers 24.
Yeah.
And so they came to Jerusalem. And they came to King Herod.
Right.
And he says, where is he who is born of the king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east and come to worship. And we know the prophecy is occurring because we see this star.
Mm-hmm.
And so Herod the king was troubled, verse 3. And he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people and demanded of them where Christ should be born. He knew it referred to the Messiah.
Yeah, he did.
And he knew that the chief priests and scribes would know the answer to his questions. But it brings out a question, though. How is it they didn't recognize these things, and these wise men from the east did?
Wow. You know, it's amazing how we can be blinded by what we might want to think or believe.
These are the religious leaders.
Right.
They're supposed to have all the answers, supposed to guide the people into the true worship of God. And yet they weren't aware of these things, that they were happening currently. They knew the answer.
Right.
And they said to him in verse 5, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the governors of Judah, but out of you shall come a governor who shall rule my people Israel."
Hmm.
And so we find that prophecy in the book of Micah.
Okay.
Why don't we turn there and look
sure.
at this? Micah chapter 5. And let's read verses 1 through 4. Can
okay.
you read that
sure.
for us?
Yep, this is Micah chapter 5. This is right before the New Testament. It's one of those little tiny books in case you're trying to find it while you're listening.
Part of looking at the life of Jesus on this earth is the understanding that these things were prophesied long before he came to this earth.
Yes.
It shows you that these accounts, these records of the Son of God in the New Testament are true. They're accurate.
Sure. Yeah, there are about, if I remember right, there are 700 prophecies that point to Jesus coming in at the time that he came in the New Testament. And there are 300 of those things that you can see fulfilled clearly in the New Testament when you and reflect back on the Old.
Right.
It's pretty amazing.
So Micah 5, verses 1 through 4.
Okay. Micah 5, beginning in verse 1. "Now gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us. They will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord." Actually, that would be in the strength of Jehovah.
Yes.
"In the majesty of the name of Jehovah his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace."
So it's interesting that in verse 4, it says he, talking about Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, shall stand and feed in the strength of Jehovah. In the majesty of the name of Jehovah, his God.
Yeah.
So remember, Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He tells Mary after his resurrection, you know, I need to go to my Father and my God, my Father and your Father, my God and your God. And so Jesus' rightful authority in his life is Jehovah, his Father.
Amen.
So here we see that the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the chief priest, tell Herod, King Herod, about this prophecy. And verse 7, Herod secretly calls the wise men and inquires of them exactly what time the star appeared. Apparently, the religious leaders weren't aware of this star. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go search diligently for this young child, and when you found him, bring word to me again so that I may come and worship him also."
Hmm.
He didn't want to worship him.
No, he didn't.
He wanted to put him to death.
Yeah, we'll see that as we read the account.
So, you know, they departed and they came to the house where, or they came actually to the stable where Christ was born. It says, coming into the house, verse 11, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And opening their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. It doesn't say what country they were from, just that they were from the east.
Right.
Which tend us does to believe it's a country that does not believe in the
right.
one true God.
Yeah, it could have been somewhere in the Orient.
Yeah.
And that's the case with many that are over there. They don't believe in the one true God.
Yeah. But they well, maybe they did, but they were from a country that probably didn't.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
So let's see what happens next in verse 13. This is the modern King James Version. And when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring you word, for Herod is about to seek the child to destroy him. And he arose and took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt. And he was there until the death of Herod, so that it might fulfill which was spoken by the Lord or by Jehovah through the prophet, Out of Egypt I have called my son. So God warned Joseph, saying, you need to leave. You need to go to Egypt where Herod can't get a hold of you because he wants to kill this child. And so, again, let's look at this prophecy that says, Out of Egypt I have called my son.
Okay.
So there's two places that I know of in the Bible that talk about this. One is in Exodus chapter 4.
All right, I'm there.
So let's go to Exodus chapter 4. And let's read verses 21 through 23.
You want me to read that?
Yes, if you could, please.
Okay. So this is Exodus chapter 4, you said, beginning in verse 21. And Jehovah said to Moses, When you go back to Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand. And I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, Thus says Jehovah, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I say to you, let my son go, that he may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, indeed I will kill your son, your firstborn.
See, the lineage of Jesus was through this nation of Israel. And so that's why he says, Israel is my son, my firstborn, because it was through these people that Christ would be born.
Sure.
And I say to you, let my son go, that he may serve me, so that Christ can be born. He become a servant of the Most High God. He humbled himself and became a servant to do his Father's will. He put his trust in his Father, that he could accomplish the mission of the gospel on this earth.
Right.
So another place that we find this prophecy in the book of Hosea, which I always heard Hosea,
yeah.
Chapter 11, verse 1. Can you read that for
sure.
us?
Sure. Let's see, Hosea 11 and verse 1. So it says here, When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son.
Yes. So these are the prophecies that talk about what actually came to fruition in the life of Christ.
Mm.
That King Herod desired to put to death this king that was prophesied. Why? Because Herod was king. He didn't want any competition. He
right.
didn't want somebody to take his place. And so he went about trying to destroy this child.
Sure, he did.
And we'll see that in the next verses that we're going to read.
So I just want to make this comment here about this king. It says in verse 12 of chapter 2 of Matthew, being divinely warned in a dream, they should not return to Herod. So these wise men received a dream. They were told by the king, you come back here and you report to me. They had to know this God. They had to trust this God that was giving them
yes.
the dream, right?
Yeah, they believed what they were told in the dream versus being obedient to the king.
From the true God.
Yeah.
This is the importance that I wanted to make this clear, because this is the importance of knowing God's will, knowing God's word, knowing the voice of God.
There's coming a point in time, and in many countries, Christians are persecuted and being put to death because they choose that very thing.
Right.
To obey God and his word and his son versus what men say.
Right.
What the authorities say. Now, the Bible says that God sets up kings and kingdoms and changes them according to his will, and that we're supposed to respect and obey the authorities because God has put them in place for our own well-being.
Right.
But there also is coming a point in time where these authorities will direct you to do things that result in disobedience of God. And we're to obey God rather than men.
Right. In this very account, we see a case of this. God is saying one thing, the king is saying another. Who do you obey? Who do you worship? And then, too, we see not only these wise men, did they know the voice of God and know the word of God and trusted him, but Joseph also had a dream.
Yes. He believed God.
And he
I'm pretty sure it was inconvenient to travel from Bethlehem to Egypt.
Yes, it had to be. And, you know, this
I'm sure God provided everything they need. Just as in our ministry, God has provided us everything we need.
And more.
Yes.
More than what we need to do ministry. Think about that.
We're just a few people.
Right.
God provided this building, the studio, this office that we're recording in right now, right, and the church next door.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, when you think about it, people say, well, you say God provided. No, it was a miracle. It was the money was given to us.
Yes.
And, you know, it was just amazing how it happened. We'll talk about that again sometime. But knowing and trusting, knowing what God wants from us, the only way we can do that, friends, is by studying his word.
Right. And having that relationship.
Absolutely.
That personal relationship.
Absolutely.
That's the difference these young people we were talking about, the billboards. Mm-hmm. They have a personal relationship. And through that relationship, they experience power to overcome sin in their lives and experience the change.
Yes, and it doesn't mean that to have a relationship that you know everything about God, that you know all, that you have all of the answers. It's a change of your lifestyle, and then God really begins to work in your heart, yeah, and in your mind.
And show you the things that we've learned from God's
sure,
word.
And that we're still learning.
Yeah. So let's read verses 16 through 18 of Matthew 2.
Okay.
Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked by the wise men, was greatly enraged. In other words, they didn't obey him. They didn't come back to talk to him. And he sent and killed all the boys in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had carefully inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. So again, we see that Herod was deceptive with his wise men, inquiring about what time they saw the star. And so his order to kill these children, he killed them from when these men saw the star to 2 years old, for a 2-year period of time, thinking that he would destroy this prophesied Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God.
You know, this happens a number of times in the Bible where someone tries to stop God's prophecy,
yes,
the original prophecy in the Bible, the first prophecy, from happening. And this is a major event here that's taking place. And this happened, this was just a couple of thousand years ago.
Men trying to do what God will not allow happens throughout history.
Mm.
And we can see that with the prophecies of Daniel, where the feet are a mixture of iron and clay.
Right.
Where it talks a prophecy about these different kingdoms, these different tribes, right, will not be united.
Right.
And we see in world history where Hitler tried to unite Europe,
sure,
under his own. And God was too much for him.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this was a prophecy that you're talking about in Daniel, is in Daniel chapter 2.
Yeah.
And there's so many of these things that have occurred throughout the years. And remember, history repeats itself so many times. And we're coming to a time where there's this call to unity.
Yes.
much like what we've seen in the past, much like what Nebuchadnezzar did.
And the whole world will be put to a test. Who are you going to obey?
Mm.
Are you going to obey God, be obedient to him and his commandments?
Right.
Or are you going to obey men who make it seem like this is the right thing to do, but in actuality it's going against God mm. and his word?
Yeah, it's just these things, when I read these accounts and I see these things, they just give me such faith in God's word, because even here in the book of Matthew, they're quoting from the Old Testament, these prophets of old in Jeremiah 31. This is what you read. And I'm going to read this from Jeremiah 31:15. It says, "Thus says Jehovah, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children because they are no more." That's word for word.
Yes, they at least realized, looking back at the prophecies in the Old Testament, which was their scriptures at that time, the only mm-hmm. scriptures they had, they realized this is the fulfillment of those prophecies. Whether or not they understand that ahead of time or not, I don't know. Sometimes it's easier to understand a prophecy looking back at events that have occurred
sure.
versus things that are yet to occur.
You know, that had to be exciting to them when they're recognizing and realizing.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
And it might be the excitement that we feel when we recognize things that are happening today.
Do you think they were ambassadors for Jesus when they went back to their country?
Yeah, I certainly hope so.
They were telling about their experience.
Right.
Look, we found this prophecy in the scriptures, and we saw this new star, and we went, and you know, the Jews seemed to know about it, but didn't realize it was happening.
Right.
And we saw the Messiah, the King of the Jews.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
So let's continue on in Matthew chapter 2.
Okay.
Let me read verses 19 through 23. "But Herod, having expired," in other words, he died,
mm-hmm.
"behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for the ones who sought the child's life are dead. And he arose and took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he had heard that," I can't pronounce his name, Archelaus reigned in Judah in his father Herod's place, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene."
Hmm.
Now, this is an interesting verse because I don't know of any prophecy in the Old Testament that says he shall be called a Nazarene. So there's lots of opinions about what this verse means. But what's interesting is that in this chapter before us, we had individual prophets that we saw that spoke prophecies about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And what it says here is that he came and lived in a city called Nazareth so that he might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophets, plural.
Right.
So we haven't read all the prophecies about Jesus, but there are prophecies in the Bible, for example, Isaiah chapter 53, that tell us that Jesus will be thought nothing of, that Jesus will be looked down on, will be despised and mocked by his own people. And we see later on in conversations with some of his disciples that one of the disciples, Philip, asked, "Is there anything that can come good that can come out of Nazareth?"
Hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
So maybe it's in this sense that it's being fulfilled, like Psalms 22 and Isaiah 53, that Jesus would be despised and mocked by his own people. Or it could be that it was a combination of all these events that occurred that were prophesied by these previous prophets that we read that ended up bringing him to the city of Nazareth.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to interpret this, but this is what it says.
Now, I know that there are, I don't see any references to, like you said, Nazareth in the Old Testament.
Right.
But there were Nazarites. And I do see that. And I wonder if they were from that region, perhaps.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, there's some people will say that Jesus called the branch and that the word Nazareth or Nazarene is similar to the word branch. And, you know, they use that. But I don't know.
Yeah.
But this is just what it says. So,
yeah, it's best just to stick to the Word of God. And, you know, this is where we have to have faith. We've talked about faith.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we might not have a crystal clear answer. We might not know. We just have to say, you know, I trust God's Word. I've seen it to be true 100% of the time.
Right.
So maybe I don't understand this, but I believe it.
Yeah, we don't understand verse 23 completely.
There's
many possibilities. Maybe it's a combination of many things. We don't know.
There you go.
So let's go on to Matthew chapter 3. Now, we've read this parts of this chapter already in maybe a month or two ago.
Okay.
But I think it's important to read it again because we were concentrating on baptism, the difference in baptism. But let's see what it says about
the life of Jesus. Yeah, it's important.
This. All right. Mark, can you read verses 1 through 12 of Matthew 3?
Sure. Yes, I can. It says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him, and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones, and even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire."
So it's interesting in verse 2 that John the Baptist was to prepare the way of Christ. And it says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." What are the prophecies we just read about Jesus, about the King of the Jews is born?
Right. Yeah, and they worshiped him.
Yeah. So John, understanding this, says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom of heaven, which is different than what worldly kingdoms
are. Absolutely, yeah.
Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world."
Mm.
And when the Pharisees ask him about the kingdom, he says, "The kingdom is not with observation because it's within you."
Right.
This change of heart, this change of mind, this is the kingdom of God that God wants to establish in us.
Yes.
So we can part of his kingdom.
The kingdom of heaven does not have an earthly king, and this is why Jesus is in the heavens, to be the heavenly king.
Right. So, you know, it's this proclamation and preparing the way for Jesus to begin his ministry, to begin his preaching the gospel.
Hmm. Yeah.
Preaching the gospel of the kingdom.
The kingdom. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So, and the gospel, remember the word gospel means good news. So the coming of this kingdom is for those who want to live for eternity, for those who recognize that Jesus is the Son of God, this is good news. It's just tremendous. We have about a minute and a half.
You know, it's interesting, in verse 7, the Pharisees and Sadducees came to his baptism, and they rejected the counsel of God against them by refusing the baptism of John the Baptist. We talked about that a few months ago.
Yes.
And they said, and John said, do not say within yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. Jesus is the son of Abraham.
We read that in the lineage.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's the son of David and the son of Abraham.
Right.
And they failed to recognize that this is Bible prophecy. This is fulfilling God's word. This is the Messiah to come. And it's the Messiah is the son of Abraham.
And these men are they recognize themselves as sons of Abraham,
right,
because of their lineage. And they don't realize that Jesus is the very one that all of these things that they knew about was pointing to, but they rejected him.
And he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, this kingdom within you, this change within you. Mm. What about the change? This is what God desires to happen to us so we can be part of the kingdom of God.
So having that change of life is very important. And after studying that last week and starting to look at the life of Jesus Christ, we're just getting started here.
Yes.
This is just the beginning. So we'll pick up here next week.
Right.
And we'll just do a brief review, and then we'll just take it from there.
Right.
And hopefully, friends, you'll be able to tune in with us next week. But we do have to close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we're just so grateful for the gift of your Son and for these prophecies to point to him. And Father, may we open our minds and our hearts that we can read these prophecies in the Bible, that we can recognize that you have a begotten Son, that you gave your Son while we were yet sinners, that we could come to you, and Father, that we can repent, that we can experience that change of heart, that change of our lives. And we just ask that you will work in our minds and our hearts each and every day through the Spirit of your Son, Christ, dwelling in us. So please, Father, be with us until we come together again. We thank you for this time we've had together, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ed, thanks again for leading this study. We look forward to next week. We'll pick up here in Matthew, in the book of Matthew. And friends, we hope you'll tune in and be with us again right here on New Visions Radio, 7 p.m. next Sunday. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.